Mark chapter 12. I'm still telling you about widows in the life of our Lord. And this portion that I'm reading to you is found in the Gospel of Mark and also in the Gospel of Luke. And as brief as it is, details are given us in Mark that are not in Luke. And so I'll read both portions since it's very brief. It's found in Luke 21 and it's found in Mark chapter 12. So let's read in Mark chapter 12 starting at verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she cast in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Verse 1. I think it would be good to read to you just before Luke 21 because there is another reference to widows there. So, look at the last verse in chapter 20 of Luke's Gospel. Verse 45, let's read, 20:45. And in the hearing of all the people, he said unto his disciples, Beware of the scribes who desire to walk in long robes and love salutations in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and chief places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They shall receive greater condemnation. Now notice this little detail. Verse 21 of chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich men that were casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, This poor widow cast in more than they all, for all these did cast in of their abundance, cast in to the gifts. But she of her wealth did cast in all the living that she had. Let us speak about that in prayer. My Father, we are taken by surprise at the lives and incidents that you bring to our attention in the Word of God. How could something so trivial be of importance, of such a magnitude, to be in the Word of God? But you are he who speaks of King Solomon in all his glory and in all his wisdom, and you are he who speaks of a poor widow woman and what she gave to the Lord. We're thankful that you have put these things in the Scripture. You speak about the cedar that grows in Lebanon and the hyssop that springeth from the wall. Our Father, all things are of importance to thee. We know not how to bring them in the correct relationship to one another. But thou dost know. And for that we thank you. And so we've read about this little woman today. We pray that we might learn concerning her, and we might learn concerning ourselves and the lessons so meaningful to us contained in these brief portions. So help us this morning. Give utterance and prepare the hearts of those who are here by thy Spirit. Our Father, we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised. and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'm going to tell you something that probably no one else has ever told you before. I'm going to tell you the most money I ever gave to God at one time. Has any preacher ever come and told you that before? Well, let me tell you. It happened perhaps more than 40 years ago. And I was a young man then. And I recall being in Canada and walking down the street to my apartment when some who were collecting funds for the blind came and said, "Will you help us to care for the needs of the blind?" And I hesitated. You say, "Why?" Well, I hesitated, but then in my generosity, I took all the money that I had and gave it to help the blind. And the amount of that money was 1 penny. And that's the most money I've ever given to God at one time. And the reason I hesitated was because all my money was gone. All my living was in that penny. But it was a special penny. In Canada, they had British money, and there were little pennies the size of ours, but Irwin's, back in the 1800s, were large. And I found one of those old pennies, and that's all the money I had. And so when they came and asked for a contribution, I took all the money I had and gave it to the blind. Now, what was so humorous afterwards was that I went up to my apartment and my landlord had been looking out the window when they were soliciting funds. And he said, "I saw you give some money to the poor." He said, "How much did you give? A penny?" And I smiled and said, "Yes, a penny." And he thought I knew that he was joking, and he thought I was joking. But it was the solemn truth. Now, I tell you that because since then, I've given larger amounts of money to the Lord, but I've never given more to the Lord. Our Savior teaches that because it is not the amount that you give, but it is what you give in relation to what you have left. And because of that, I am never able again, unless some disaster strikes, to give God as much money at one time. And so, for you who are poor and live from hand to mouth, it may be that every day you are giving more, and Christ uses that word, more than all of those that are rich in what they give to God. But if you are rich, how much must we give before an impression is made upon God? Now, this is what is so remarkable. The setting is beautiful. If you have read concerning this day in the life of our Lord, you will find that he is in the temple and he is being challenged. And he is asked questions, and he is answering those questions, and he's speaking parables, and he is denouncing the hypocrisy of those that are the leaders of Israel. And having done all of that, and having ended with such words as these, "Your house is left unto you desolate," then he goes into the court of the women, and he sits down. You have the area where the Gentiles can come. You have the area where the women can come. And then, if you were not a priest or a Levite, the closest you could get was the next division, where the men of Israel would come. But the Lord Jesus is sitting down in the court of the women, where they were permitted to come. And the authorities tell us there were 13 treasure chests spread around. And each one of these treasure chests had on it where the money was to go that was put into that chest. Now, what is so interesting is this. If you look at both accounts, our Lord is sitting down and his eyes are downcast, looking perhaps at the temple floor in meditation. But Luke tells us that he looked up. What would cause that? It would be the motion of someone coming to give money, or the sound of that money that was being cast into the treasury. And it says the Lord looked up. And it's like the washing of the disciples' feet. He did not first come to Peter, but eventually he comes to Peter. And there are those that are giving, and as they give, he sees the rich, and they come and they give much. And then a poor widow woman approaches that treasury and she casts in two mites. And the Son of God is impressed. So impressed that his disciples are at a distance and he calls them. He says, come. He says, I have a lesson to teach you. He said, this poor widow woman has cast in more than all they that are casting into the treasury, because they gave of their abundance, that she gave of her living all that she had. The Savior was impressed by the gift of that widow woman. So much is contained in that. But first, let me tell you the minuteness of the amount of money that she gave. When I was a young boy, they used to pay you to work in tobacco, and if you worked from sunup to sundown, they would give you a dollar. And here, in the New Testament, it speaks about the wages of an ordinary person for a day, as when the Savior is speaking about the parable, they agreed to work for with him for a penny a day. It would be about, I'm speaking roughly so you can understand it, about 25 cents. That's what they would make. And back then, we made a dollar a day when I was a young man. And this amount that she gave, two mites which make a farthing, is 128 of 25 cents. You say 128, which means you could have several in your hand and it would take all of them to make one penny. And she only had two. And she gave them all to the Lord. And that impressed the heart of the Son of God. Now, no one else that was wealthy there could have made an impression on him. For this reason, when he's speaking about a servant that serves his master, and he's been out working in the field all day long, when he comes in, his master doesn't say to him, you've been working hard today. Go sit down and eat, and when you get through, come and serve me. The Savior says this. When that slave comes in from the field, his master says, gird yourself, come, and give me my supper. And when you get through, then you may go and eat. You say, that's hard. The Lord Jesus spoke of that. And he said, concerning all of us, when you've done all that you are required to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. But this woman not only gave out of her poverty, but she gave of her living everything that she had. To give, the Lord would not be impressed. That is expected of you. He would say, that is what you're supposed to do. But when someone gives that is involved in taking food out of her mouth, then the Lord Jesus calls his disciples over and says, this is the best example that I can show you about godly giving. Now, perhaps it will never occur in our lives again that we'll be in that position to impress the Lord. But God can be impressed, and He is impressed with the gift of this widow woman. And that's why I told you that in the Bible, the Savior speaks about the wisdom of Solomon. And He speaks of the Queen of the South coming from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And He speaks of the glory of Solomon. As He looks at the lilies of the field, and He says, Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. You see the things that impress the Lord Jesus? We will take our eyes off the lilies of the field and look upon Solomon. And the Lord Jesus takes His eyes off of Solomon and looks at the lilies of the field. And you and I will be impressed when we see the vast amounts of money that the rich give. And the Lord Jesus would turn His eyes away from them and would look at the two mites the widow woman cast in, and He would be impressed by them. Now, I told you the most money I ever gave to the Lord at one time, according to the Savior's reckoning. I'm going to tell you also the most money that was ever given to me at one time by a child of God. And it was given to me over 30 years ago when I was here in Pembroke. It used to be that the Christians, if they enjoyed your ministry, would shake your hand and give you a gift. And I remember one dear old lady, I take it that she was a widow lady, she came up and shook my hand, and when I looked, she had put 50 cents in my hand. That's the smallest amount that anyone ever gave. Usually, maybe it's a dollar or so, but this was 50 cents. And immediately, looking at that woman in her poverty, I said, I can't take this money. I must give it back. But I could not give it back. I would destroy the impulse that God had laid on that woman's heart. And so I said, thank you, dear sister. And so that my conscience might be at ease, as I did with the other gifts, I gave the Venus Brooks at that time, but I would not destroy it. Now, let me tell you how I would look at this lesson, and I would bring out different teachings. I would say this, why would that woman put that money in the treasury where the very men that are going to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ would benefit by that money? Did you understand the wisdom of that? You say, of course I could. But the Lord never mentions that at all. Because, unlike today, there was a place where God had caused His name to dwell, and God did not ask that you give whatever you wanted to. He demanded what you were to give. And then, in addition to that, there were free will offerings. And I was encouraged because we are told that written on one of those chests into which they cast the money, it was called the sacrifice fund, which meant the very lambs, and every morning and every evening, a lamb without spot or blemish was offered unto God. And so if that woman cast her money into that chest, you say, that would be appropriate, because it would go toward buying a lamb that would remind the Father of His Son, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sin of the world. But that never entered into the Lord's mind. And it encourages me, but at the same time I would warn you, beware of the charlatans that are begging you for money, making all of these pleas. You are duped so many times. God would not have you to do that. But if God has said, this is where I cause my name to dwell, and this is where you are to bring your money, it is what God had commanded. Then, if God told you to do it, it is out of your hands, and it is His responsibility to deal with those that misuse the money that is given to God. And so this woman gave that money to God. And now, let's think of this. I've been telling you about widows, and some of those widows God does things for, but others He simply gives them as examples. Isn't that remarkable? Just like this. When He wanted to illustrate faith, the centurion that came and wanted his servant healed, And it turned out, in brief, that that centurion had great faith. And the Savior said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. And then he was impressed by the faith of a foreigner. And also, a Syrophoenician woman came, and she insisted she would not let go the Lord, just as Jacob, when he was wrestling, would not let go until he got the blessing. And the Lord Jesus said, woman, great is thy faith. Go thy way. What you want is granted unto you. And so the Lord is impressed with things that you and I would never be impressed with. That's why in the Old Testament we read about a bird's nest. Who would be interested in a bird's nest and the eggs that are in that nest? And God, in his words, tells us about those things. And God is interested in widow women. And I would think that he would do something for this widow woman. But I told you that when the widows in his lives are mentioned, he does not always do things for them. Sometimes he does. He was telling us about what God did for a widow in the Old Testament. Here is a widow that had nothing except a handful of meal and a little oil and a cruse. And God said, I'm going to do something for that woman. Why? Because God had commanded Elijah to be fed by the ravens, and finally, the brook ran dry, and he told the ravens, he said, stop bringing food, and so Elijah had to go and be provided for by a widow woman. And just think, that would be nice if she were a rich widow woman with a larder full of food. But when Elijah saw this widow woman, he said, get me a drink of water. And while she went to get him a drink of water, he said, now, bring me a little something to eat as well. And the widow was startled. She said, if the Lord's high God liveth. She said, I've got a handful of meal and a little oil and a cruse. And I'm going to gather two sticks and prepare it, and my son and I are going to eat it and die. And Elijah said, you give to me first. And she said, all right. And she gave to him first. And God said, I'm going to take care of that widow and her child and her household as long as there was a famine. You see the reward that he gave to that widow woman for giving sacrificially to God? Here's a widow with two mites, and she gave to God. What did he do for her afterwards? I'm unable to tell you. But I know that when this widow woman, who had only enough food to have a small meal and then die, God took care of her the rest of her life. But some, he speaks of like those in 1 Kings, and some he speaks of as examples like the one I've read you about in Mark 12 and Luke 21. Here is an example of giving that is impressing the heart of God. And God says, this widow woman did it. And here is faith that I'm looking for. And it's found in this Italian, this foreigner, this centurion. And so the Savior uses examples where he finds them. He does not make them up and search out Israel and say, well, this is not the best example, but it's from Israel, and so I'm going to use it. He finds an example wherever it is. And if a person is in need, and an Israelite who is a priest sees that need and walks by, the Lord tells you that a priest walked by. And then if a Levite sees that need and walks by, the Lord Jesus tells you that a Levite walked by. But then if a despised Samaritan sees that person in need and goes and puts an oil and wine in the wounds and puts that wounded one upon his own beast and takes him to an inn and gives money to be cared for, the Lord said, that is the example I'm using. And so the Lord is using these widows as examples, because he can't find a better example. If he were challenged to show some rich person that is equal to this woman, the Savior would say, I cannot do it. Show great faith in Israel equal to the centurion. He said, I've not found so great faith in all Israel. And so please notice that our Savior is looking. He says, I haven't found so great faith in all Israel. Our Savior is aware of what is going on among the people of God, Israel at that time, and among us, the people of God today. Now, when our Savior is going to tell us about another widow, it is her example of perseverance, because he's speaking this parable in Luke chapter 18, And there is a widow that has been wrongly dealt with. And it says there is an unrighteous judge, and she goes to that judge and says, do me justice, avenge me of mine adversary. And this unrighteous judge says, I care nothing about that widow. I neither fear God, I regard not man. I'm not doing anything for that woman. She can't bribe me. She can't elevate me in the world. There's nothing she can do for me. And the Lord Jesus said, that widow woman kept after him. And finally that judge said, this woman is going to drive me crazy. I'm going to do what she wants and get rid of her. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. And so he had to use this widow woman to show perseverance in getting some justice on earth that she wanted. And he says, now, you who are Christians, shall not God avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night? You see, that's what he does. He uses examples wherever he can find them, and therefore, you and I perhaps might be an example. And so God, in speaking of an example of Christian giving in our generation, could say, yes, there was a fellow I knew in Canada years ago. Here is a good illustration. But today, I do not know, with you or with me, that God is still looking for illustrations. And what is so remarkable is this, that our Savior is watching everything that you do. I do not know how close he was to that treasury, but two mites, however she was holding them, it said, threw, but it's the same word that's called, translated cast, she cast them into the treasury. And unless the Lord had an eagle's eye, he did not know from what he saw, but he knew from being the Son of God. What do I mean? When he sent his disciples to row across the River Jordan, across the Sea of Tiberias to the other side, it was night, and he was in the mountain, and it says he saw them rowing in the wind. Now, if he could see them in the dark, if the moon was shining, God knows, but he knew them. But I want you to understand that God is aware of everything that happens in the lives of all his creatures, whether in the temple, as here, this is a house dedicated to the glory of God, in the house of God, or outside the house of God, on the Sea of Tiberias, the Lake of Galilee, or by the seashore, wherever anything happens, God is always aware, and the Lord Jesus knows what is going on. And so that rejoices my heart. Who had ever thought that the Lord Jesus would take note of two mites being cast into the treasury? But he did. And so that gives them encouragement to all of us who have little that we give to the Lord. Who in this community has been impressed by less than a penny that you've given to some worthy cause? You say, why, they wouldn't even pay any notice. They probably would not say, thank you. But the Lord Jesus takes notice, and so that's an encouragement. It may be, as when I gave that penny, it was sacrificial. And people who saw me give that penny would say, you cheapskate, that's what you think of the blind. I did not explain to them my financial circumstances, but if they knew the way the Lord knew, then they would marvel. They would say, why did you not keep that money? I've heard Christians say this. Why don't you give to God? They would say, I'm not going to give to God. Let the people that have money give to God. I've heard a Christian actually say that. But what God says is this. Unless one gives after the example of this woman, God is not going to be impressed. If you give what you should, the Lord Jesus says, what thanks does he get? He's done what he should. But if it is given sacrificially, then God takes notice. And Paul says the same thing. He says, concerning the preaching of the gospel, he said, responsibility is laid upon me. And therefore, when the apostle Paul preached the gospel to the end of the earth, he wanted to name the name of Christ where it had never been heard before. He said, if I do that, I get no reward. He said, however, God has made, going along with my preaching of the gospel, he has ordained this. They that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He said, therefore, if I preach the gospel, That's my responsibility. That I'm supposed to live of the gospel. He said, if I do not take the money for preaching the gospel, he said, then God is impressed. So do you see what you have to do to impress God? You say such difficult things. Yes. And so let us strive at least to be those like that servant who's been working all day long to come in and then gird ourselves and serve our master and then go exhausted, sit down and eat our own supper. And then instead of saying, so let me congratulate myself, let me simply say to myself, I've done what God expected me to do. You see how much the Lord expects of us? And yet you and I, if we give a little, if we do such a little, we look to God and expect praise from heaven, how much God expects of us. And I'm wondering how much praise we deserve. That, this is it. If we deserve praise, it is never overlooked. Would you not think that two mites that make a farthing could be overlooked? Not at all. Would you not think, as one time I remember when I was working on a farm, I went up to the door of a stranger and I said, would you please give me a drink of water? And the woman went and got some cold water and gave it to me. Do you think that would impress God? Well, of course. The Lord Jesus said, whosoever shall give a cup of cold water in my name. And so none of the little things that you do are ever overlooked by the Lord. And God takes this little woman as an example. And by giving her an example, at the same time, there are so many truths clustered around her example, which means this. Whatever good thing we do for God, however small it is, he recognizes it, and he commends it. That is what is so good. He gives a great discourse on giving, and he uses this woman as an example. He takes a little child, this humble little child, and the Lord praises that child that is humbling itself. And so this is our Savior, and that is the beauty of the Word of God. And so will you remember this? All of you who have very little to give, that you faithfully give to God, will you remember that he sees it, and he appreciates it, and it may be talked about in heaven, because it says there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repented, and so perhaps things go around in heaven about the insignificant things that you and I might do on earth. But I'm thinking of this, and this is what is so sad, and I will bring it to your attention. Our Lord's eye let nothing escape him. The giving of the two widows' mites, but at the same time, Simon Peter, who had followed the Lord afar off, was asked by a maid and by others, aren't you a follower of Jesus of Nazareth? And then one time he denied, two times he denied, three times he denied. And the third time, it says, the rooster crowed. And when the rooster crowed, it says, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. That's one of the most horrible things that could ever happen to a man. He did not know that the Lord would see him and hear him when he was denying. But the Lord heard him, and he saw him, and he simply turned and looked at him. And when Peter felt on it, it said he went out and wept bitterly. And so, child of God, when you do something small that is worthy of God, the Lord Jesus sees it. And when you do something simple, great or small, Jesus sees it. Let us do good examples like this poor widow woman. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, come to where those that are of a perfect heart that fear him. We are thankful that your eyes miss nothing, our God. We are glad that you see the good that we do. We are afraid when we think of your eyes seeing the evil that we do. And because of that, let us not think, how does God know? How does God see? Let us understand that you know our down sitting and our uprising. You know ourselves afar off. And so let us not think that we can escape any sin and hide it from thy sight. And then, Father, let us take courage that whatever insignificant things, as far as man is concerned, that we're doing for thee, they do not go unrecognized by the eyes of the Son of God. So help us to learn from this example that thy Son gave us of this poor widow woman, we pray, in his dear name. Amen.